And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 46. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 559 of your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text and others with this thought in mind, the word from the cross, the word from the cross. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. There is a refrain from one of my favorite songs that refers to the night that Jesus was arrested and brought before Pilate and others to be tried for blasphemy and treason. And the song tells us that although they whipped him all night long, Jesus never said a mumbling word in his own defense. And I've often wondered why he was silent on that night that he was taken from judgment hall and judgment hall. And he never said anything. But although Jesus didn't say anything that night, it turns out that Jesus did have more to say to this world before he left it. As he hung on the cross, Jesus preached a powerful last message to us. In fact, he made seven statements in those 6 hours that he hung on the cross. Each one is a message to us about God the Father. So on this chilly but beautiful Easter morning, we need to hear the words that our Lord Jesus spoke from the cross that day. Taken together, the statements of Jesus tell us about the love of God. In fact, a good summation of what Jesus is saying to us from the cross on that day is found in a very familiar passage of Scripture. This sums it all up. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's a comfort to know that the same God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth and all of its inhabitants, cares so much about each individual soul that he will allow his Son to die for. That fact is revealed over and over again in the written text that we call the Bible. So let's examine that text so that we can hear the messages about the love of God that Jesus explained to us as he hung there on the cross. The first word comes from Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And the text reads, "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The word from the cross is that God forgives. God forgives. God forgives. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus commands his followers to love their enemies. How can a person love their enemy? How can we be of a mindset to turn the other cheek when we're struck? Well, 3 days before Resurrection Sunday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus demonstrated how to live out that commandment. After being called a madman, a lunatic, and a blasphemer for all of his earthly ministry, he still says, "Forgive." After being beaten, spit upon, and ridiculed all night, he still says, "Forgive them." After being strapped to an old piece of wood with nails driven into his hands and his feet, and being stripped naked and raised up as a spectacle of shame for all to see, he still says, "Forgive them, forgive them." And the question that a human mind would ask, we all ask, why should I be forgiving to someone who does these kind of things to me? But Jesus already answered that for us in Matthew 5, 48, where he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." When we forgive, we become more like God. So let us seek Jesus and receive the forgiveness of God. The word from the cross is that God forgives. God forgives. But as we listen, we hear the Lord speak again from the cross. This time in Luke 23, verse 43. And the text reads, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" The word from the cross is that God is merciful. God is merciful. The man that Jesus is speaking to is a criminal. Unlike Jesus, who had done no wrong, this man was receiving the just punishment for the crimes that he had committed. In fact, just moments earlier, he and the other criminal on the other side of Jesus were ridiculing the Lord, along with all those people on the ground. They said, "If you are the Son of God, get down off this cross and save yourself and us too." But something happened to this one thief as he hung there between heaven and earth. Something happened to him as he was about to descend into eternal damnation. The Holy Spirit must have whispered in his ear, "You better listen to that man hanging next to you. You better call on him before it's too late." And the Bible does not tell us what he really heard, but it does tell us what he said. In Luke 23, verse 39, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise.'" Today you'll be with me in paradise. Now take note of what this man did. He confessed his sin, and then he asked the Lord to forgive him. And the Lord's response was immediate. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There is no waiting period with God. You're not on probation with God. As soon as you come to him in honest repentance, he accepts you into the kingdom. And this man is a good illustration of what we need to do and to know to come to God while we still have time. As he hung there on the cross, just hours or maybe even minutes from meeting his maker, he grabbed his opportunity for eternal life. He knew that he would never get another chance, and neither may you. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You need to seek mercy while mercy can yet be found. The word from the cross is that God is merciful, and we need to seek mercy while mercy may yet be found. But as we listen, we hear the Lord speak again from the cross, this time from John chapter 19, verse 27. And the text reads, "Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." The word from the cross is that God provides. God provides. Jesus had spent the night before preparing his disciples for his death and instructing them on how to carry on the ministry. Now he looked down at his mother and gave instructions for her care after he departed. Back at the verse 25, the whole text says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Jesus left his mother in the care of his most trusted disciple, John the Beloved. And only after he did this did he give up the ghost. The word from the cross is that God provides for those who are his. And you need to make sure that you're part of the family of God. And all you need to do to join the family of God is accept Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." The word from the cross is that God provides. But as we listen, we hear the Lord speak again from the cross, this time from Matthew 27, verse 45. And the text reads, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" The word from the cross is that God is holy. God is holy. In all the spoken words of Jesus to God his Father, we have never before heard him ask a question. And the question itself leaves us in bewilderment. How can God forsake God? And Jesus' cry from the cross is at first glance a mystery. But Paul tells us what's going on in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he writes, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus was experiencing something that none of us can comprehend, and I pray that we never will be able to. He was experiencing the agony of being separated from God the Father. In all of eternity, there had never been a separation between Jesus and the Father. Now he became, because he had taken upon himself the sins of the world, your sins and my sin, God had turned his face from him, and Jesus suffered the wrath of God. Even the natural elements were affected, because the Bible said that earthquakes erupted and the sun stopped shining at noontime. There was darkness all over the world for 3 hours. He was in fact experiencing our hell on the cross that day. He was experiencing our hell. And by the way, that's what hell is like. Not the Hollywood version where the party goes on and everyone does what they've always wanted to do. No, there's just the awful, eternal separation from everything that is holy. And if the Son of God cried out in agony, just imagine the turmoil for a lesser soul. But if Christ is your Savior, you'll never know what that's like. For the Bible said that if you're in Christ, only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. The word from the cross is that God is holy. And Jesus' death on the cross met God's holy requirements for an atonement for sin. He suffers God's wrath so that we don't have to. Jesus has already paid your sin debt. So you need to receive him as your Savior to apply his payment to your account. The word from the cross is that God is holy. But as we listen, we hear the Lord speak again from the cross. This time from John 19, verse 28. And the text reads, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth." The word from the cross is that God is faithful. God is faithful. Even as he hung on the cross, Jesus was mindful of scripture that must be fulfilled. And David had written in Psalm 69 that to his cry of thirst, they would give him sour wine to drink. And as soon as he cried out, they gave him the sour wine, fulfilling that prophecy. Jesus promised that heaven and earth would pass away and not one jot or tittle of his word would go unfulfilled. The word from the cross is that God is faithful. You can depend upon the word of God. He has never went back on his word. So you just need to step out on the word of God by faith, because God is faithful. The word from the cross is that God is faithful. And as we listen, we hear the Lord speak from the cross again in John 19, verse 30. And the text reads, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." The word from the cross is that God is victorious. God is victorious. When Jesus declared it is finished, it was a victory cry. He had accomplished the work that God had sent him to do. And that's why we cannot add anything to our salvation. Jesus has already finished all of the work. All we have to do and all we can do is accept by faith the work that Christ has already done. The word from the cross is that God is victorious. And if you live in Christ, you can live in victory. For the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But as we listen, we hear the Lord speak from the cross one final time. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And the text reads, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last." The word from the cross is that God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. As he breathed his last, Jesus committed his spirit to his Father. He knew that God was trustworthy. And sooner or later, we're all going to have to do that. Commit our spirits to the Lord. And we have to do that whether we have trusted him or not. We're going to do that whether we're ready to do it or not. God will one day take possession of our souls once again. But if you trust him now, there'll be no fear when you stand before him in that day. For the Bible declares that God the Father has committed all judgment over to Jesus Christ, and that Jesus has just one thing to say on Judgment Day to those who have accepted him. And he records that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. And the text says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" The word from the cross is that God is trustworthy. If we trust Jesus, he'll provide for us a home in glory. If we trust Jesus, he'll present us before the throne of his Father. If we trust Jesus, he'll be with us until the end of the age. If we trust Jesus, he'll carry us through seen and unseen dangers. If we trust Jesus, he will comfort us when we're weary. He will carry us when we're weak. He'll lift us up when we're torn down. He'll heal us when we're sick. If we trust Jesus, he'll be our Savior throughout all of eternity. As Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, he was still teaching us about the Father. He was teaching us that God forgives and that we should seek his forgiveness. He was teaching us that God is merciful and that we should seek mercy while mercy can still be found. He was teaching us that God provides for those who are called by his name. He was teaching us that God is holy and our works of righteousness will never stand up. We need a Savior. He was teaching us that God is faithful. You can stand on the promises of God. God never fails. He was teaching us that God has the victory for our salvation already won in Jesus. We just need to claim it by faith. He was teaching us that God is trustworthy. We can lay our cares upon him who cares for us. And every word that Jesus spoke from the cross tells us that God is love. Every word declared that God's mercy is available to us. Every word that Jesus spoke from the cross tells us how much God loves us. Those were the seven last words of Jesus from the cross. But they were not the last words of Jesus. For we know that they took Jesus down from that cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. But early on that first Easter morning, God dispatched an angel to roll away the stone from the grave. And Jesus got up out of the grave declaring that all power in heaven and on earth was in his hand. But that was not all that Jesus had to say to us. Early that Sunday morning, Jesus got up to tell us that he had set us free from the fear of death. Early that Sunday morning, Jesus got up to tell us that he had set us free from the power of sin. Early that Sunday morning, Jesus got up to tell us that through his power, we could walk in the newness of life. Early that Sunday morning, Jesus got up to tell us that God has a blessing waiting for us. God has a blessing waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? God has peace in the midst of persecution waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? God has joy in the midst of trouble waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? God has hope in the midst of heartache waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? God has food for your soul, water for your spirit, light for your path, strength for your journey, waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? The word from the cross is that God has a blessing waiting for you. Don't you want to come and receive it? Don't you want to come and receive it? Don't you want to come? At this time, I'm going to ask the choir to come and sing for us. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. If you've heard the call of God this morning and you want to answer that call, we invite you to come. You need to know that God accepts you right now, just as you are. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't go home and think it over. Come now while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come just as you are. God is not looking to find perfection in you. God is looking to create perfection in you. God is looking to mold you in the image of his son. Come and join this fellowship as a candidate for baptism, or come by your Christian experience. The important thing is that you come. You don't need to wait. Come forward right now and receive the gift of God. To anybody here who wants to join this congregation, this fellowship, join the Lord, you can come right now. But there are others who should come as well. If you're a member of this church already, and you realize that God is calling you to rededicate yourself to the work of the kingdom, then you need to come also. Come and ask God to give you the strength to answer the call and to do the work that he's called you to do. If that's your situation, then you need to come. Come forward and reunite yourself to the Lord through prayer. But there are others who should come as well. If you just want to thank God for the love that he's kept you all along the way, to thank God for the guidance that he keeps you day by day, for the joy that he brings to your heart day by day, for the peace that you experience with him every day, for the power that he keeps your soul every day. If you want to thank God for that, when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God. All who desire prayer, the doors of God's church are open. Shall we come? Won't you come? Let us bow for a word of prayer.